Season 7, Episode 9, Gilmore vs. Blue Care, A Hankering for Sex. And a warning, this episode includes discussion of a workplace sexual assault. We advise listener discretion. As always, Alan introduces the case of Gilmore vs. Blue Care, a community home care provider. In this event, a personal carer submitted a claim against her employer because of her report of sexual assault when providing daily living support to older men living in a group-style home. We are the only workplace podcast to descend into conversations in relation to sex. We do more than descend. We embrace this, says Sarah. I've got an itch, a hankering. When I'm hankering, I yearn for a marshmallow or a burger. Some people hanker for very different things, Trage, says Sarah. Just out of the box this episode. Enjoy. Work Podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Open sesame!
All right. Okay, well, I wanted to talk about a decision that was made just a fortnight ago. It's not a happy case or funny in any way at all, but it's a really important decision, and the name of the case is Gilmore versus Blue Care, so they're the two parties. Decision in the Brisbane District Court by Judge Lowry on the 1st of November, and it was a claim for compensation by Ms. Gilmore. Now, what happened was, when Ms. Gilmore was 22 years old, she was a personal carer, and she would go to an institution at Ipswich, which accommodated mostly, not entirely, but mostly, I think it was something like 80%, men who had mental illnesses.
And Blue Care is a healthcare provider, community healthcare, aged care, residential, yeah. You name it, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so she was an employee of Blue Care. And but part of the issues about this is that Blue Care had done a little bit of assessment of the people that this young worker, Ms. Gilmore, had to go out and see. And but it wasn't adequate. And there was also evidence by the manager of the institution out at Ipswich, and their assessment process was not adequate. And it was really about sexuality and sexual drives. So you got a bunch of adult men with mental health problems.
Primal motivators, sexual drives, primal motivators.
And there's no evidence about whether or not these men had girlfriends or whether they were really on their own.
No matter what, even if you think, sorry, they have a sexual outlet, does not mean that they're not going to try to dominate. Because there's other issues. It's not just sex, right, pure sex. It's about domination too, right?
Let me finish the facts, because it's going to get better.
It gets better.
So a
female worker working solo,
young, 22 years old,
in a residential area with men.
And part of her duties was to assist in the cleaning of these men, showering.
Right. ADLs, activities of daily living. Yes.
But with this particular client that she was seeing, she was cleaning his room and encouraging him to have a shower, and he would avoid her. So when she came to the facility, he would vacate him, disappear. And so she would not normally see him. Anyway, she was cleaning the room, and whilst she was cleaning the room, another one of the residents, again a man with mental health problems, approached her and said, could you come and clean my room? Now, I think for particularly people with traditional values, I have to explain what happened, and I probably should give a trigger warning that I'm about to talk about a sexual encounter or sexualized encounter.
We give disclaimers on the episodes, Alan.
So she went, she agreed. You know, here you've got this enthusiastic young 22-year-old. She agreed, and she goes to the other patient's room. This is, she wasn't paid to do this.
But right. Haven't women been conditioned to help and to please, right?
So socially. She was paid to clean the other room.
But this guy took off. This guy took off.
Program, right.
But here, I'll help. I'm here. Yeah, let me help you,
and
right?
Blue Care had assessed the person that she was supposed to see, but had not assessed the person who asked her.
However, if you assess a person and they're living in a shared facility, part of that assessment should be about the exposures to other people in the shared facility.
And that was not done by Blue Care. No,
right. And look, before you get to the punchline, and I have had discussions, particularly when I was working for the government, about this scenario of helping people at their home and, you know, assistance from home. And so if your brief is, for example, to provide personal care, and then suddenly an elderly or patient, their patients, I guess, they ask, look, while you got a minute, can just... Oh, I just can't change that light bulb. Now, what person, what human would say no? But the problem is then you stand on a table or whatever and you fall, and then you've done yourself a mischief. They'll say, we didn't ask you to change the light bulbs. We asked you to provide washing.
But, and you're a carer, whether you're male or female, there's a sense of benevolence for many people who will do that work.
Altruism. It's an altruism. Yeah. Move the fridge while you're here. You're not going to say no. Would you say no?
Not my makeup, is it? I always do too much, right?
I mean, you might think about thinking, oh, crikey, what's if I slip and fall? But
there could be protocol to say every time that's asked outside, you call. There's a protocol in place to help a buffer. But
I think for workers that are working in an environment, for example, where there's men with mental health problems, and it could be caused by age, then there needs to be some training on what do you do if someone behaves inappropriately. And if you're a veteran in that field, you probably develop those skills anyway. Mm. But if you're a 22-year-old, you know, that's pretty, in my book, that's pretty young.
I just need to unpack something because I'm not sure if you intended to say this, but what I heard was you have a mental health problem and it's caused by age.
No. I'm saying
there we go.
If you work in a retirement village with people who have dementia,
well, we're watching that case closely, aren't we, with the 95-year-old
person. So you mean age-related, not caused by age. Just clarifying.
In this case, it's not age-related.
Okay,
men with mental health problems. Yeah. Anyway, so she says, yes, I'll come and clean your room. He follows her to the room and then closes the door behind
her. Oh, dear.
He pulls out an erect penis and then grabs hold of her to rub up against her. Now, he obviously was envisaging that there would be sex. She was completely surprised. Luckily, she hit him.
Yes.
And that shocked him, and that gave her the opportunity to get out of the room. So she handled herself quite well. But
Having to resort to physical violence?
No, absolutely.
It could have easily ended in
could have got much worse.
Physical altercation.
It could have got much worse.
As well.
He did try to pull her pants down.
Yes. So he's committed quite a serious sexual assault.
Yes.
In that he's attempted to commit a crime.
I think that's where he was going. And the case problem. But if he didn't have a mental health developing chronic PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Correct. Say it out loud, yep.
And
we talked to her a lot about that.
She copes with that for a little while with drugs. She's lucky in that she ends up with a bloke who sounds like he's a lovely bloke.
So drugs, do you mean prescribed? Or are you talking
prescribed.
About...
Yeah, prescribed. Because some people do abuse and they self-medicate.
Right, so I'm just trying to understand if this is maladaptive behavior coping or...
I think there might have been a bit of both. It might have been prescription drugs that she was taking
alcohol,
a lot of.
Alcohol, perhaps.
No, no, it wasn't that kind of thing, no. But she gets into a relationship with a new man who she marries, and she starts working with him in his business, and they have children, and that's all very helpful.
Yes.
But Judge Lowry says, look, you know, the PTSD is going to continue for the remainder of your life, and there'll be, throughout the remainder of your life, there'll be triggers, so there'll be times where this all comes back to you. Now, she got a damages. There's no talk about legal costs, but so putting aside legal costs, she got almost $240,000 in damages. Which, when I first heard that, I thought that's not a lot of money. I thought
it still doesn't sound like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For what I think anyone. From any generation would say it was a terrible experience.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
Yeah. Now, some of the things that were important to me professionally was a failure to risk assess. As you identified, Judge Lowry says, well, look, you've assessed your clients that you're going to see, but you're not assessing the surrounding environment.
The context.
Yeah.
First and foremost, start with context.
There was no the actual institution at Ipswich, which I think these are essential and important institutions, but there wasn't enough of a risk assessment about could these men with mental illnesses sexually assault women, and in fact when there was some recounting of the evidence, it just wasn't taken seriously enough.
Mm. And you're working in isolation. I'm assuming she was on her own, right? No other staff there?
That was a big thing for me too. Mm. So Blue Care had made a decision that this woman go out on her own. She wasn't working in pairs. Whereas if it had been two carers, then the chance of that situation being so dangerous would not have happened. Which is a massive issue in all those sort of healthcare industries.
Yes.
And not just healthcare industries, but should workers be working on their own?
Well, service industries.
Well, police go out in twos. Like, there's a buddy system going on, and the risk... But it's interesting that the risk assessment with the risk or the likelihood of perhaps a person who is technically, given the diagnosis, unpredictable, with or without medication... Who knows? That's the point. But a risk assessment of the likelihood of a violent act or a sexual act, I would put in the red.
Now you've got to unpack what was the nature of the mental illnesses. You can't have a prejudice assuming that all mental illnesses can lead to this type of predatorial behavior. No. However, I'm assuming there's got to be some history if you're talking about this aggression, violence, incivility, the whole escalation, right?
Because I was reflecting on one of your what you said in one of your earlier episodes, and
amazing.
Well, there another win.
Amazing.
Another lot of wins.
So I thought there just wasn't any thought put into sexual drives.
This is frightened to me.
They just never asked the question of this facility that we have, which is over 80% men, who may not have filters. Will they have sexual drives, and how will those sexual drives be channeled?
Yes.
And how do we manage that? And you can't do that risk assessment if you don't talk about sex.
Alan, we are probably the only work-related podcast that descends into this topic, and we embrace it more than descends. Yeah, we're not afraid to talk about it.
Call
this
it
is
out.
The level of raw conversation. This is the raw level of discussion that is not just desirable, in my opinion, it's essential. And that case demonstrates that conversation wasn't had potentially at that. How many other institutions? Yes. Or I'll put it straight in the red, the likelihood.
What about the spanking? Remember the military spanking?
The military officer,
right, the spanking.
And of course, we've just recovered from ministerial advisor at the most senior levels of government
and
being found to have been raped.
And we're talking about a case with a jeweler soon at the Human Factors Ergonomics Society of Australia's conference, and it has to do with attraction at the workplace, or perceived attraction at the workplace, right? So this whole concept about sex, beyond the attraction between people, also is sex can be used as a tool for power and domination.
Oh, well, indeed. Right?
And that's the other thing we're talking about. Because when you're talking about something aggressive and rape, clearly non-consensual in this type of
case. Absolutely not. No.
It's a whole nother level.
Horrific. Horrific.
Power and knowledge. Power. And during our lunch break at the Roadhouse, because we
missed our Vietnamese today.
We missed our Vietnamese today. There is a case. It's ongoing, though, involving a very senior member using his status to groom junior female members for sexual favours. So that's in another profession entirely. So this stuff has happened.
It's a thing.
It's continued to happen and will continue to. It is happening now and continues. This is why work. And guess what? As Sarah always says, sex is a driver. It's primal.
It's primal.
I think Bill Clinton's just publishing a book at the moment where
worried about this.
Yeah, well, he's talking about Lewinsky.
I should have talked about this.
He's praising her for the work that she's done since the incident. Okay. But I think the point for our discussion now is, even at the highest levels, people are driven by a desire to have sexual
relations.
And this stuff, it extends beyond sort of like the scandal of the time and toppling of presidents, etc. It remains in our psyche. It certainly does in mine. In fact, unrelated, we didn't have a conversation. I thought about Monica Lewinsky today, randomly. I just did, but the fact that...
While you were driving
a hot rod? No, while I was having a coffee. Well, but
really?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Why? Maybe I was preempting our conversation today. How prescient. But my point is...
I think he was on psychedelics, man.
I think it was because Clinton was on television and Hillary, and then suddenly that dialed a cipher in my brain. But my point is, it remains. And you think, the impact is huge.
Yeah, well, I think the important... If you're saying, none of my workers want sex... then you're not being real, because your workforce is going to
have a
healthy sexual appetite, and then you have to say, well, is that going to impact upon what we do?
And we're getting close to Christmas parties.
You can't assume that a decorum is just simply understood and upheld because suddenly we're in the...
Sometimes we need to be reminded.
...doors of the workplace.
You're right, Christmas parties are coming
up. And they're coming up, and now we add alcohol to the equation... And again, we've talked about this before, where once you're outside of the four walls, you suddenly at a club or a restaurant, and suddenly people think, oh, I'm not at work.
Festive.
Reminder.
So what do Americans say when you've got an itch? You know, you're hankering.
You're hankering.
Hankering for other things.
Well, let's use the American expression. So you've got the Christmas party on, there's going to be someone at the party who's got a hankering.
Well, we're like a hankering for like a marshmallow or a hankering for a burger or something.
Some people hanker for very different things, Trey.
You might hanker for food, but other people hanker
but
for other things.
But when we say an itch, that's different. The Americans, I know what itch means.
Haven't you heard that before?
What?
Itch.
I've got an itch.
Whereas the hankering is, I've got a hankering for meatballs or something. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, you'd be safe at a Christmas party.
You're a safe guest.
All you can eat buffet.
Safe guest, as long as there's a buffet.
All you can eat buffet. Where's Trey? He's going back for the food. But look, and this is it. I'm convinced that this isn't being robustly discussed because we keep dredging up these cases. And they're not hard to find, are they?
No.
They're not hard to find.
And stories that I can tell, you can talk, we can all share stories also, even if it hasn't made case law.
And the easiest the easiest way to handle this topic is to speak to the workforce as a whole. So we're coming up for the Christmas parties. You speak to the workforce as a whole in a very nice way about what's acceptable conduct at the party.
But a nice way, can you be a little bit more blunt? Because these cases seem to be manifesting into something very traumatic and very serious. I wonder if you do mince your words, if you are too, let's say, politically correct in your delivery,
yeah, no,
whether they're not getting
speak.
It.
Get rid of the corporate speak.
Get rid of the
be
corporate
speak. Be real plain.
Speak.
Yeah.
Well, the case, so that this the judgment that's just come out, doesn't talk about this man's mental illness. So it would have been very interesting to hear about his mental illness, at least for me, to understand what filters and controls he had over his own behaviour and how predictable his behaviour would have been.
Yeah, I just wanted to be really careful not to associate mental illness with violations and being a sexual predator directly, unless we know the context of that mental illness, and because those violations occur without a recognised mental illness, right?
They do. And it's often much worse because it's concealed in clever ways, and the manipulation is
or simply they're drunk, of which there's no excuse, alcohol or intoxication or some stupefying drug. The point is, it harps back to those the primal drivers, and look, irrespective of the mental condition or not, this was a worker going to a workplace, and one is expected to be protected.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe, and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.